seals. That goes back to chapter 5 there, the seven waxed sealed scroll there. And I heard as it were the noise of thunder from here to the end. Basically, you hear thunder, an amazing event, a terrifying event. Typically, judgment's going to happen. It's where the noise of thunder, one of the four living ones, one of the cherubim, saying, "Come and see." And I saw and beheld a white horse. Him that sat on had a bow, and a crown was given to him. He went forth conquering and to conquer. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast or living one say, "Come and see." There went out another horse that was red. Power given him sat, take peace from the earth. And that they should kill one another. And it was given to him a great sword. Verse 5, when he had opened the third seal, or the third living one say, "Come and see." And I beheld and sat, and lo, a black horse, and him that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. I heard the voice in the midst of the beast say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Protect it." Verse 7, when he had opened the fourth, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, literally a sickly green, same word we get chlorophyll from. And him that sat on him was death, and hell, or Hades, followed with him, and power given him over the fourth part of the earth, killed with sword, hunger, death, and with beast of the earth. And that wouldn't certainly include any type of rodentia there. And we're going to look at these first seals, these first judgments. What you may be one of the most familiar things to you about Revelation, we're looking at what we are calling the four horsemen. The four horsemen, the start of the end of days, the apocalypse. Would you pray with me? Father, may every person in here never have to go through 1 second of this. May every person in here understand that if we are living in the last days, and we have been for 2,000 years, and if we're seeing prophecy fulfilled at an amazing, astounding rate not seen since 1948, and we are, if we are constantly seeing the events of Matthew 24 unfold, and we are, and if life is short, if it is simply the exchange of one heartbeat for another, and it is, I pray everyone would understand the brevity of life, the succinctness of time, and do their very best to be ready to meet you. And I pray you'd help me. Help me to preach with power and authority. May I communicate well. Help us to listen on purpose. May you get honor and glory for this. We pray in Jesus' precious name, and amen. You can be seated. Be seated. Again, we'll walk through this. I'm going to do a couple things. One, I'm just trying to remind you, I will have a special take on this next week. Lord willing, I'm going to talk about something akin to what happens if you miss the rapture. What happens if you miss the rapture? Unless the Lord changes my mind. It'll be a very appropriate sermon for next week. And so you pray with me about that. Again, unless the Lord changes my mind, that's kind of where I'm headed. I'm skipping what happens from chapter 4 and 5 to 6, saving that for next time. Instead, I'm kind of plowing on ahead. We mentioned to you Wednesday night. If you're not coming on Wednesday night and you're able to, I gave four or five pages of material, and really trying to cover prophecy, Bible prophecy, trying to put it on the low on the bottom shelf so everybody can grab a hold of it, and help us out and help us to understand what's going on. Help us to understand what the Lord is doing. And I said, and I suggested, one of the better ways of looking at this is sometimes we're in the heaven perspective, then we're back down here on earth, and we'll be back up looking at things from the heavenly perspective, we'd be down here on earth. And so there's a pivoting, a cavitating, if you will. We have gone from the throne room and the sea, as it were, made of glass, and the glory of God and the praises to God, and now it is just judgment. Those of you who like a Latin word, it is the eschaton. It is the start, the beginning of the day of the Lord. It is, in that essence, these four horsemen that are here. The Bible teaches that the world is headed not toward peace and unity, but toward a final cataclysmic war. It is what we call the Battle of Armageddon. That's chapter 16, the first, about the verse 14 or so. Until that thing, everything continues to fall apart. We get deeper and deeper into chaos, into confusion and sin. By the way, how many of you figured out chaos, confusion, and sin is the nightly news every night, right? And it's everything. In the book of Revelation, there's these symbols. I think I gave them some of these to you that represent the future judgments. There's seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls. I did do that. In fact, I found the graph. There's a footnote that's there. It belongs actually to the graphic there. There's a seven-sealed scroll, and these are telescopic in nature. And in that last seal judgment, we see that these trumpets, these blasts that'll come out, then incorporating the last trumpet, you'll see the seven bowls that are there. And we see all of these things that are coming as these are consecutive. These are consecutive in best I can understand. And these will be poured out. They'll be poured out sequentially. Some of them will overlap. And we see them spread out a little bit. We see that these, some of these happen at the start of the 7 years, some toward the middle, and then the most violent and most terrifying will occur toward the end of these 7 years of judgment. And all of this ends with the return of Christ. Now, say all that. You're going, okay. If all this is true, it really ought to change how we're living. And because it is true, it really ought to change how we're living. If we are in the last days, and we have been since Jesus ascended, and if we are seeing all these things, then we ought to do differently. Some of you get kind of lost in the sermon, so I've been giving you the so what at the start, and some of you like that. So those of you who are taking notes online, in your app and things like that, I want to encourage you to do. There's been two or three of you. I think Jonathan was the last one. Maybe he said it yesterday. Say, you know, I learn a lot better if I take a note, if I write some things down. Now, look, let me help you. You can write some things down, and you can write your grocery list down, right? You can color in the bowls and the jumpets and trumpets and all those kind of things. But if you'll stay with me, I think I'll really help you. And by the way, how many of you believe there is a blessing tied to those who would hear and obey the book? That's just Revelation chapter 1. Verse number 3. So number 1, just understand, severe judgment is coming. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Not long. Not long at all. Say it lasts forever. No, it lasts 7 years. In his judgment, he is merciful. That's number 2. God is in control. What we do messes things up, right? Messes things up. How many of you are alive when the Berlin Wall fell in Germany and was reunited? Remember that? Those folks, how long? I got news for it. It won't be up to man. God said it'll be this long. When this starts, you can count down the timer. It's 7 years. 7 years. Severe judgment's coming. God is in control. Number 3, repentance then is not optional. You can get right now. Get right now. Isn't there the foolishness? We do it with the dentist, right? I look around. I don't know anybody. I've got a couple of medical people here. But the dentist is one always gets me. I get that postcard or that email now. You got to go to the dentist. And all of a sudden I'm like, has anybody seen the dental floss? I've got 10 days to make up for 5.5 months of poor dental hygiene. Is anybody besides me? I go to the doctor so much now I can't do. I go to the doctor so often now I can't do it. But I would get that thing, you know, it's time for your yearly physical. I'm like, man, I might have put on a little weight. I wonder if I can lose 35 pounds in 3 days. And, I'll just cut back. I'll cut back to one pack of vanilla wafers. And this kind of, we're kind of foolish. We look at this and we go, hey, everything's continuing as been. I went to bed. I got up. Hey, there's food in the fridge. You know, those kind of things. We understand that. Not for nothing. But it wasn't but 18 months, 2 years ago. We were all communicating with each other. Anybody know where any eggs are? 2.5, 3 years ago, we were all going, you got any toilet paper? I got money. Because we were what? We were rationing. We were family. We were just all kind of things going on. I remind you, you need to be right with God. Number 4, if that's the case, sharing your faith is no longer optional. I mean, you're out of time. You're absolutely out of time. You've been there, haven't you? You've been there at the funeral. You've been there at the graveside. You've been there at the start of the service. And some well-meaning family member is tearing another well-meaning family member away from the casket. I've watched it twice. Somebody dove in the casket. Had to get pulled out. Had to go back and straighten up the body. So overwrought with guilt. So overwrought with shame, they left things unsaid and undone. We understand that. We understand the end of things and death and the finality of it. I would remind you that there is absolute judgment coming, and the best thing you can do for your friend, your neighbor, your loved one, your enemy is invite them to Jesus Christ. You need to share your faith. Number 5, you can understand Bible prophecy is absolutely accurate. Bible prophecy is absolutely positively accurate. You've got the list there. Let me walk you through a couple of things. Fact of the matter, if you'll hold your finger there and just go back to Matthew chapter 24. I want you to see this. Won't you see it? We have so many folks say they're deconstructing their faith. We have so many young people struggling with, is the Bible accurate? We have so many doofuses and goofballs on social media and on YouTube, and they say, anybody believes the Bible is stupid? None of it's true. Well, let me walk you through a couple things here. Maybe that'll help you. I said Wednesday night, I just saw my note. I said Wednesday night, about 50%, there's a give or take 8,300. You could go as high as 10,000. I really do think that number is closer to 8,500 prophecies in the scripture. Unsaved people, Christ deniers will say, and agree with the number. They just agree with how the number comes out. But any honest person, about half the scripture prophecy has been fulfilled, and the rest are waiting. Rest are waiting. Some of those are Matthew 24. Matthew 24. We see it in Revelation chapter 6, and then we see the comparison. The Bible says there'll be false Christ. You see Matthew 24, verse 4. Excuse me. Verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed, no man deceive you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. 2013, 2014, you had a fellow who actually had the name Jesus, Jesus, down in Mexico City. He's one of the last major ones who said, I am the Christ. Those of you who have been alive long enough, remember Jim Jones and Guyana and the Kool-Aid and all these kind of things. There are many who come and say they are Christ. The Bible, Jesus predicted warfare. Matthew 24, verse 6, you shall hear wars, rumors, wars. See, not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. Somebody says, what's going on there? Well, we don't exactly know what is going on in the Middle East now, but we do know it does fit right here, wars and rumors of wars. Not for nothing, when World War II happened, many folks thought this is it. Hitler satanically attacking the Jews, the extermination that was there. Folks rightly assumed that this was awful. This was awful, and maybe this was where we were headed, and this was what was about to happen, but there were some other things that haven't happened. But we've seen the precursor on and on. Verse 7, nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. We see that. There's warfare, there's famine. Verse 7, there's death. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations. For in my name's sake, 100,000 folks walk through Trafalgar Square crying out death to the Jews this week. Say, prophecy's a long way off. It might be. But there's a whole lot of prophecy look like it's pretty recent to me. These are the things you look for at the sign of his coming. Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. There'll be many who are witnessing the gospel of the kingdom be preached in all the world for witness in all nations. And then shall the end come. Until the modern era, missions always had to do with prophecy. It was always a link that was there to them. And I would encourage you to understand that with the advent of radio, satellite radio, and now internet, whether it's the low-altitude balloons that are providing it, there are people who have never one time seen a Bible but now have the gospel in their language. And we are closer and closer to that. Folks like there's all kind of Bible translation projects that I'm familiar with, some people I went to school that are working for them, and they are there, and they're doing their very best to get it in their native language. The Simmons, who were here not 1 month ago, she's having surgery tomorrow. As they were here, one of the things they said was they've got in the Samburu dialect, and they've got the stories recorded, and they put a master together, and they put it on the solar-powered MP3 player, and then they go and they spread out, and folks who have never seen a book, much less a Bible, and all of a sudden they hear the gospel in their own native language. I would remind you, this is what's going on. What we see here in reality was prophesied by the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it coming, coming together, and then there'd be changes. I call them cosmic changes. After tribulation, sun will be dark and moon will not give her light. Stars fall from heaven. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. We'll do that in 2 weeks, Lord willing, as we'll see that together. And so we've got these things here. Now, just for fun, anybody interested so far? Anybody like, man, that doesn't sound good. Anybody here think that sounds good? So, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. I was asleep. What is it going on? So let's unloose these seals. Let's break these wax seals here and see. Number one, the first one is false peace. It's false peace. False peace if you allow a bloodless conquest. If you read back in chapter 6, verse 1, or chapter 6, verse 2, I saw and behold a white horse, him that sat on it had a bow, crown given to him, he went forth conquering and to conquer. Some of you have a study Bible, you've got some notes that are there. You got to ask the question, who's the writer? Anybody besides me want to know who the writer is? Some of you grew up in and around church. Maybe you like to listen to stuff online or radio and all. I'm gonna try and help you here. Number one, I do not think this is Jesus. I think I can prove that to you. Can I prove that to you? I don't think the writer here is Jesus. A lot of folks will say that this writer is Jesus. Number one, he opened the scroll. So if he's the one opening the scroll, he's certainly not the one on the horse. You got a juxtaposition problem there. Number two, he wears a Stephanos, a winner's crown. Jesus wears a diademos. He wears a royal crown. Number three, when he returns, Christ doesn't carry a bow. Christ carries a what? He carries a sword. Sword proceeds out of his mouth, the word of his power. And then the last thing there, he's going to return at the end of the tribulation, certainly not at the beginning. We will see him, every eye will behold him. When he returns, it is obvious and it is visible, and not the least of which is no angel tells Jesus what to do. If you believe that, by the way, say amen. Let me help you. Nobody tells God what to do. And so we see it. So it's not, you say, is it the Antichrist? The Antichrist. Some of you heard that term. We'll explore it more in the weeks to come. Again, you have war personified, you have famine personified, and you have death personified. It really seems like he is talking in a personified manner. By the way, when we're introduced with Antichrist, the one who claims to be Christ, it's obvious, it's real, it's those kind of things. Is this certainly the spirit of Antichrist? Yeah, absolutely, the spirit of Antichrist. But I think you're a lot safer to kind of lean this way. And again, I'm not going to, if you want to have a cup of coffee and bring me some low-calorie peanuts, we'll discuss it. We'll discuss it there. But I think it really is the simplest way to look at it. Because he's talking about a bloodless conquest. You're talking about a false sense of peace and security. Some of you that are younger, you've always maybe wondered why Christians, Americans, folks in England for the longest time, other parts of the world, and Israel in particular, why they so resist United Nations, one world government. Not for nothing, but because of chapter 6. Because somebody's going to come and say, if you'll just listen to me, it'll all be better. And we all know how the story ends. If you listen to the one, it doesn't get better. It gets much worse. And so we have rejected. It's hysterical. Jimmy Carter, as good a man as people think of, a humanitarian, when he tried to convert us from the imperial system to the metric system, he said, no, we're not doing that. That's a one world kind of thing. If Carter had his faculties now and could see what we've done in the name of getting along and going along, he'd be really upset. Nod your head if you understand that. So you're talking politics. No, I'm talking government. Politics is what people do to get their own power. Government's what done to put their power on us. Very different animals, very different animals. And you will hear some things that really do sound that way. This is a false time of religion, by the way. You were in Matthew chapter 24 and you saw that as well. And we have this worthless pledge there. One writer summarized, it was two or three who took this. And let me help you. It may seem incredible to you. I've got a long quote, help me. Hovering on the brink of final disaster that we could be so totally deceived, but that is precisely what happened on a smaller scale before the outbreak of World War II. Hitler spelled out in detail his plans for conquest in the book Mein Kampf, published almost a decade before World War II began in earnest. But the Western allies, Britain, France in particular, they refused to believe that Hitler was anything but a man of peace. They stood by as he reoccupied south of France, the Rhineland. He threw away the Versailles Treaty. He then annexed, that's a polite word, isn't it? Austria, the Sudetenland, Czechoslovakia, desperate to appease Hitler and avoid war. British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain. And it was only God's grace that Churchill was allowed to do what he did. Otherwise, they'd be speaking German in Britain right now. He met with the Nazi dictator at Munich in 1938. Upon his return, he waved a piece of paper saying what? Peace with honor, peace in our time. When Churchill, who said we cannot trust him, he rose. By the way, if you've never read that speech or listened to it or listened to some of the dramatizations or I think there's been a couple of movies made about it, it's worth your time. It was almost universal. the thought was so bad that even if Hitler was lying, it would be better to have a husband in their bed. There's history books in England right now. Better to have a husband in your bed than a husband dead on the battlefield. Better to be ruled that way. Churchill and his cabinet changed the nation and got them involved in a war, by the way, and we were lagging behind. It took Pearl Harbor for us to get involved, really. The false peace. By then, it was too late. It was only after Hitler invaded Poland in 1939 did we finally acknowledge the truth. By then, it was too late. The catastrophe of the Second World War was upon us. The Antichrist will come. He will bring an abrupt halt at the midpoint of the tribulation, and he will desecrate the temple there. We call it the abomination of desolation. He'll betray the Jewish people. He'll begin to launch deadly attacks upon him. Again, that's what's got some of you and some of us interested, because this has been an unprecedented, unparalleled attack since the Yom Kippur War in 1973. It's been that long since we have seen this. He is deceptive in his peace, and he has counterfeit spirituality and a false religion. Let me help you. How many people you know, their religion is politics and government? They talk it, they eat it, they breathe it, they sleep it. How many of you know, not prophecy, not living right, but conspiracy and higher knowledge is their religion? Everybody else is asleep and all this kind of thing. Now, modulate that however you want, but truth apart from the Bible, you're gonna have to show me charts and graphs and all kinds of things, right? Everybody with me? How many of their religion is just go along to get along? Let me prove it to you. Finish these sentences for me. You only live once. That's hedonism. You do you, right? Everything revolves around you, right? You do you. Still with me? Well, my Jesus, and you put anything you want in that, right? My Jesus wants me to be happy. My Jesus doesn't care about this. My Jesus doesn't care about that. We'll shop around. We are consumers. We are full right now of false religion. We are full right now of all kinds of things. Matthew 24 is a long time off, the return of Christ. It might be a minute or two off. Billy Graham said 1983, he wrote the approaching footsteps of the four horsemen. Opening chapter, Graham presciently said, shadows of the four horses are upon us. Well, it isn't 83, it's 2023. I got news for you. The shadows are getting longer. First seal, false peace. Say, I don't like that. It scares me. You're really not going to like this one. Second seal, war. War. I gotta hurry. I got 6 minutes. You still with me? Everybody with me? Say amen. You're with me. All right. After the rioter brought false religion, false peace, there's the shock. And that's straight up war. The red horse is going to shatter the false peace. The sword is not the long sword, the rompia. It's not the sword of justice that comes from the mouth of Jesus. That's chapter 1, verse 16. It's a small one, the Makaria. It's the sword of assassination. It's the sword of uprising, the sword of warfare. It is the correspondent to Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7. Notice what it was. It was granted to him. God allowed it. God is in control. All that happens is under his control. The judgments are not the wrath of men or the wrath of Satan. They are the wrath of God poured out on a deserving world. He will come. He will set up the abomination of desolation. He will kick off the massive conflict. If you need help there, that's Daniel 11 and Daniel chapter 12. And we see all of these things. We have the Western Confederacy, the ten horns there of the West, the resurrection of the old Babylonian Empire, if you please. We would call that a confederation or a union now. Again, many folks think and have thought, you know, it was a bad idea for the Europeans to get together, because every time they get together, it doesn't go well for the rest of us. Let me help you. They've all gotten together and hadn't gone well for the rest of us. The Antichrist will take over. He'll be the champion of peace to some. He'll break his promise. He'll show his true colors. And here we go. There is war. There's the third seal, famine. Third seal, famine. J.D. Greer says something that was so interesting to me. Today we know famine and hunger kill more people every year than AIDS, malaria, tuberculosis combined. Some 805 million people in the world do not have enough food to lead a healthy, active life. 1 in 9 people on Earth, that's the breakout. The vast majority live in developing countries. 13.5% are undernourished. Sub-Saharan Africa is the region with the highest prevalence of hunger by percentage of the population. 1 in 4 is undernourished. When you talk, when we hear from our folks in Togo, when you hear from the Simmons in Kenya, one of the things you see is teaching them nutrition, trying to get them water, trying to get them to eat better, trying to get expectant mothers to eat better. Why? Because they are hardline conditioned to do without. Do without. Poor nutrition caused nearly 45% of deaths in children under 5, 3.1 million children each year, 1 out of 6, and nearly 100 million in developing countries is underweight. You know, there's a reason when they flash those photos starting in November and December, if you'd give the day, you'd feed a hungry child somewhere they work on us, because we're not used to seeing kids when the ribs stick and slam out. We'll give anything to make those pictures stop. Famine comes when governments are bad. Famine comes when there is war. Famine is the natural result of all of this. It is the assumption. It is the horse in black. It is the logical consequence. It is the means of judgment. What does he say about it? He said, you still with me here? Prices listed here are 8 to 16 times the average price in the Roman Empire at the time. When eggs went from 99 cents, $1.99 to $6.99, $7.99, $8.99, folks are going, well, I reckon I might have any eggs anymore. When you, for whatever reason, I was really sick during this time, so I kind of missed some of the craziness. And some of you, if you'd find supplies, you'd bring them by the house. And so we didn't have the desperation, some of this, because y'all were taking such good care of our family. But we're about to lose our mind. We're about to lose our mind trying to find a roll of paper towel, a roll of toilet paper, and a paper towel there for a minute. Shut down the trucking. All these kind of things. Diesel skyrocketed. Everything's gone up. People are going, man, I'm never going to be able to afford a house now. 7%, 8% interest rate. Where's my realtor? Yeah. It doesn't take much to squeeze us, and we all feel it. We're all going, well, we're going to do without. If you ain't got much to start with and everything gets squeezed, you are in a mess, aren't you? Some of you were at Walmart when the truck came in. And there's photos out there somewhere. Some of y'all riding on top of a cart, guarding the TP. I still don't know what COVID had to do with going to the restroom, but anyway, it did. Can you imagine? If famine doesn't sound that bad, I don't think you're thinking about it, right? Those suffering only be able to buy limited food quantities. Guard the wine and oil. Quart of wheat's barely enough for a person for a day. 3 quarts of barley is low-grade food. He's saying you're going to be eating out of the vending machine, as it were, and you'll be on starvation wages. And the idea, the things that are just so plentiful, cooking oil and all that kind of stuff, you'll have to guard that from everything else, because that won't be around at all. Then the last one, death. Death. Go to verse 7. You still with me? When he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living one say, come and see. I looked, a pale horse. Him that sat on death and hell or Hades. Power given to him of the fourth part of the earth. Kill with sword. Circle that. Hunger, circle that. Death, circle that. And with the beast therein, the fourth seal. It is the color of illness and death. Modern writers say it is the very embodiment of what we consider a corpse to look like. Again, as I mentioned, it's the word we get chlorophyll from. He mentions sword, he mentions famine, pestilence, and wild beast. I think it's easy to understand a couple of these and maybe the other. Maybe to help you. Throughout human history, disease has killed more people on a far more massive scale than war has. More Union and Confederate soldiers died from disease during the Civil War than were killed in battle. An estimated 30 million people died during the great influenza epidemic of 1918-1919. That was the backdrop, and people who were really trying to scare everybody a few years ago, they kept using those numbers and those pictures from the flu epidemic back then. More than three times as many of the estimated 8.5 million soldiers who died during World War I, killed by the flu at turn of the century last century. Several million more died about that time in typhus in Russia, Poland, and Romania. In a world ravaged by war and famine, understand, disease always is the victor. See, wild beast, what are you talking about? Is that we don't, and I've heard preachers say, well, you know, nobody's got a gun anymore, so they can't hunt. And that, there may be a factor in that, but you understand, if disease kills more than rodents carry disease, and if you're scrapping to survive, you're not keeping up the maintenance, and all of a sudden, and while you're in bed, mouse bites your kid. While you're doing your thing, you get a scratch, and here we go. The rat will thrive in almost anywhere. Uncounted millions of deaths. They ate the food supplies. They contaminated the food supplies. They spread disease, not the least of which was the bubonic plague or the Black Death. Almost a quarter of Europe's population laid at the feet of the rat. God gave his messenger what? To kill the fourth part of the earth. It's not 100 million people. That's not 1 billion people. If the number of projections are right now, that is closer to 2 billion people. I don't think you find America at all in Revelation other than generically. I don't know if that's when we get wiped out or we get taken over. Maybe we're wiped out or maybe we're just inconsequential. I don't know. It focuses, shifts to the Middle East, and that's where it is, and so that's fine. Can you imagine 500,000 people live in Knox County? Start doing that on your calculator. How many Knox counties that is will die in 3.5 years. Think about how many rats that would be to carry that much disease. Say, God's not fair. He lets all this evil happen. I offer you exhibit A. There's a day and a point and a fixed place in time where he says enough and unleashes his rightful vengeance. When's it happen? It happens after gospel's been to the end of the earth. When's it happen? After you've had all these warnings, wars, rumors of war, and all this stuff. I'll get right tomorrow. I'll get right later. I'll get right with God later. You understand, later's coming faster than you ever thought. You've been putting off getting right with somebody, you get right with them today. You've been putting off inviting somebody, you invite them today. What exactly would it take to set that tinderbox off over there in Israel right now? I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just saying. How many more nations would have to get involved for you to think this is pretty serious? How much oil would have to get choked off for the West would go, oh, this is a bad idea? Somebody get real cranky and decide to set off a dirty bomb or set off a chemical weapon. I mean, what would have to happen to get your attention? Let me help you. If you get more serious by looking at the news than you get serious by looking at the Word, you got something bad wrong. The Bible is always right. The weather people, they got to hire pretty people and handsome people to do that because they're always wrong. But you plan your day around somebody who half the time gets it wrong. Let's live in California where it's always sunny. So what am I supposed to do with this? I tell you what you're supposed to do with it. I'm done. Tell you what you're supposed to do with it. It's coming. He's in control. You better get right. You better get your friends right. It's no longer optional. Share your faith. And understand, he is right. 50% done, fulfilled, perfectly accurate. 50% still to come. 48, Israel becomes a nation. I mean, I can start walking you through it. That's kind of what I'm doing Wednesday night. And you understand the final events of this world's history are being written in front of our very eyes, and the rest to come. It may be tomorrow. It may be 100 years from now. But I'm telling you, it's getting laid out. And every man that has this hope purifies himself. If you believe this, you'll live right. You'll do what's right. Because you may meet him. You may meet him in death. You may meet him in the air. And those that you love that are left behind will want no part of this. Would you pray with me right now? I need to stop. I need to stop. Invitation's pretty simple this morning. God's dealt with you about something. I would encourage you to respond. If you're not ready to meet him, if everything I'm saying you hope's not true,